from Sunburst Media Productions and Refuge Productions. This is Spectrum 360. Welcome. Your Spectrum 360 co-hosts are Mark Skogman and Bruce Wright. Spectrum 360 broadcasts live weekly on Mondays at 11 p.m. and online anytime via podcast. Thank you for listening for the next hour. Spectrum 360 is progressive and features political talk and humor and also the arts and popular culture. Spectrum 360 starts right now. Let's get to work.
Let me assert my firm belief that the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
Any one of you who feels cynical, just consider where we have been.
You want the truth, you should seek it out for yourself. That's what they're afraid of, you.
This is information the world needs to know.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
This is the radio program Spectrum 360 for Monday, 14th of October, 2013. This is Mark Skogman.
This is Bruce Wright.
Let's get right to the program preview. We have for you four great segments to add on our program. This staff works very hard to make an excellent program for you, so I hope you appreciate what we've done. We're working very hard every week to give you a good Spectrum 360. On segment one tonight, we're going to do an interview live via telephone with Sherry Honkala, who is involved with and one of the principals in the World Court of Women. Bruce will tell you more about that in a little bit. In segment two, we're going to be doing a preview of the new film opening, The Fifth Estate. We'll be speaking about that. Yours truly, Mark Skogman and Bruce Wright, we will be attending an advanced screening of this film tomorrow night at a theater in Tampa. So we'll have an advanced review of that for you. It opens in wide release this Friday, October 18th. And then after the break at the bottom of the hour, we're going to have a discussion about a number of political events which have happened over the last few days. We have been out in the field attending multiple events. There's about five different events we're going to discuss for a few minutes and tell you what's been going on around St. Petersburg and Pinellas County and other areas of the state. And then we are going to finish with part four of our great speech by John Nichols that was given to the Progressive Democrats of America in Wisconsin, in Madison, Wisconsin, on Saturday, the 10th of August. We played the three previous parts, and we're going to finish up that series on this program with part four to end that. And we're going to have more for you as well. So, let's check. Do we have our guest called in? Ms. Honkala? Not yet. Okay. All right, we're still waiting for our guest to call in. So we're going to be doing some acknowledgments here. We'll have our guest call in, and then we'll get right to our first interview.
And we'd like to thank at this time The Refuge, 727-278-1547, the Poor People's Economic Human Rights Campaign, the convener of the World Court on Women in Poverty,
yeah.
economichumanrights.org,
yeah.
Veterans for Peace, Chapter 119. You can check them out on Facebook. Gennaro's Coffee House, 1047 Central Avenue. Call 727-202-6956. Every Monday night they show documentary films with St. Pete for Peace. Every Saturday night at 8:30, poetry. First Stop Poetry with Mona every Saturday night at 8:30. More acknowledgments coming later. But back to our show. And by the way, we are going to be giving away tickets.
Yeah.
Next Monday night for The Fifth Estate, as well as another movie, and tickets for Michael Frenti. We now have a guest that is on the air waiting for us. I just want to give a little introduction to the audience about Sherry Honkala. Sherry Honkala is the former vice presidential candidate of the Green Party. She is part of the Green Shadow Cabinet. She's national coordinator of the Poor People's Economic Human Rights Campaign. She has been arrested for more than 200 times for civil disobedience.
That's really unbelievable.
I know. Woman of the Year, been named Woman of the Year by the Philadelphia Inquirer.
Oh, yeah, and I was wondering about that. I saw that in her biography, and she was named Woman of the Year, but the information I saw didn't indicate who had named her Woman of the Year, so I was wondering. So thank you for answering that question.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And in addition to that, she is, and of course I can't see myself, oh, she is considered one of the most top 10 endangered activists in the country. And she's going to share with us tonight about the World Court of Women in Poverty that is happening this weekend in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Sherry, are you there?
Yes, I'm happy to be here tonight.
We're glad and excited to have you on the show. And, of course, we gave you a bit of an introduction there, which you actually, in my book, need no introduction. And Mark and I are both familiar with you and your work, and I have been involved myself with the Poor People's Campaign for many years. But we are going to talk in particular tonight about the World Court of Women on Poverty. Tell us what this is about. Before you do that, I wanted to let people know that she is also going to be on WMNF, a community radio station, this Wednesday at 11 a.m. We are going to be bringing a delegation from Florida to this event. So we're real excited. But tell us what it's all about.
The World Court of Women is a part of the International Courts of Women. They've been happening all over the world. They've mostly happened in areas of the world where there's been armed conflict. And the courts were established by a woman by the name of Corinne Kumar, who was living in Tunisia, who's now living in India. And the courts are about uplifting those of us in the world that have been made invisible and voiceless. And it really emphasizes, spending a day, 2 days, 3 days of just actually listening to the voices of people that have been told to just disappear. And
We won't do that.
Pardon?
Well, we won't do that. We don't want you to disappear. We want you to speak your mind.
Yes, that's what we hope that hundreds of families will do this weekend, October 18th, 19th, and 20th in Philadelphia. People are, taking the Greyhound bus. They're riding with their friends. They're caravanning. But they're coming to tell some pretty important stories that we're not going to hear about on CNN or seeing tomorrow's newspaper. And these are stories that we all need to be listening to, because the only way that we're going to change things in this country or in the world is if we begin to listen to those that are most impacted by these issues. And when those of us that are impacted decide to get into motion, are in the forefront of, leading struggles to end these conditions, then we're going to see some real change.
Now, what I understand is these events have been taking place internationally in this country and in multiple other countries, and there's actually been more than 30 of them already. Am I correct?
Yes.
Wow.
One that was in Africa, specifically around the issue of AIDS, in Asia, around the sex trafficking, and many other places where, poor women, victims of crimes during war, and we thought it was incredibly important that we lift up the violence of poverty that's taking place here in the U.S. Because we think it's, the thing that the human rights violations have in common in this country is that most, if not all of them, could have been prevented because we live in such an affluent country.
Tell me, Sherry, maybe some details in relation to what will happen this weekend.
On Friday and Saturday, there will be different panels of speakers talking about homelessness, talking graphically about hunger, being involved in the sex industry, domestic violence, the war on drugs, losing their children. We just recently had a family here who lost a daughter who was 12 years old because she didn't have, we've eliminated all the school nurses in the schools here, and she had an asthma attack and died.
Wow.
So there'll be, you know, several different stories similar to slave narratives. And then in between all of this will be a great deal of singing and music and poetry and dance. And at the end of the first day, we're going to have an open mic where people are also going to express what's happening to them through spoken word or through music. And then on at the end of each day, the jury will meet and will reflect on what they've heard throughout the day. We are also encouraging this to be the most tweeted, Instagrammed, Facebooked event. And we're real serious about making sure that we lift up the voices. And so we're going to, at the beginning of both Friday and Saturday, we're going to do a quick little educational for folks that are in the audience that happen to have their own flip cam or their own computer or their cell phone so that we can get this published as many places as possible. And then on Sunday, the first 2 hours in the morning, we'll hear deliberations from the jury itself and a closing statement. And then at 1 o'clock in the afternoon on Sunday, we have a press conference. And we intend to take all of this information to the UN High Commission on Human Rights in Geneva. It'll first go through a delegation of folks that are going this year. You know, this is something that we don't consider to be symbolic, but something that we really think are human rights violations and that they really need to be addressed.
Tell me, as we're looking at this, and there'll be testimony, it's my understanding, too, that it will be hopefully live-streamed as well so that people around the world can see it. What kind of impact have other world courts of women had?
I think that they're, you know, they're incredibly important on several different levels. One is most people become validated. I mean, I think that there's something really powerful about the wisdom that comes from a single mother that has to try to figure out how to get by every day. And so one is, you know, we as the listeners are going to validate the lessons and the experience. And then it's also an opportunity, we're going to also hear testimonies of resistance. And the jury who are, you know, jurors that are our elders are also going to give, you know, suggestions on here's the direction we need to go in, this is what we're up against, and this is what needs to be done. So I think it's about, you know, all of us joining together and making a decision to go on the path that's going to take us to a different kind of world instead of using the same old model of, you know, everybody get in a bus, go to Washington, D.C., talk about how horrible things in our lives are, and then nobody does anything about it. So this is really about us taking control of our future and fighting to ensure that we take care of our children and the next generation.
Now, it's my understanding at some level it's connected to the whole World Social Forum movement and U.S. Social Forum and just the general kind of move towards a model of solidarity and being led and informed by the oppressed, as opposed to the typical model we've seen in our society of either charity or top-down kinds of things. And so I'm curious if you'd elaborate on that just a moment.
Yeah, I think those of us that live in poverty and have been doing organizing and low-income folks for many years now, like in the Poor People's Economic Human Rights Campaign, we've constantly come up against the nonprofit industrial complex. We're not in this thing because it's a job or it's a 9-to-5 thing. We're really in this process because we're against the inhumane conditions that we ourselves live in and our neighbors and our family and our loved ones. And so for us, it's not about ensuring that we don't make anybody angry over here or what somebody's political alignment is or anything like that. We're really interested in ending poverty and not managing it. And I think that the court is a great place for people to start because it's really about lifting up the most important thing in this process, which is the voices and creating visibility to sections of the population that are incredibly invisible right now in this country and around the world.
You know, Sherry, it's really interesting. So much of decisions made, whether it's at the United Nations or in our own country, in the White House or Congress, are made from people who have not been there. And this gives a unique opportunity for a kind of bottom-up approach to this. And I think it's really something that, regardless of your politics, you can unite behind. I think at some level, whether you're one of the two-party, what I'd like to call regime or mainstream system, or independent people, or people who are just don't vote at all anymore or have no interest in it, this is something that can appeal to everyone because for a change, it's coming from people affected by it. And that's not a voice that's heard very often, is it?
No, it's not. And I think, you know, I was just looking at some of the registration coming in today, and it was really interesting because there's a bunch of churches that have signed up to come and to listen. And I think that that's really exciting because I think that, you know, similar to slave narratives during slavery, it's incredibly powerful to listen to the voices of somebody graphically explaining what it's like to, like, sleep outside every night or to go without food for themselves and for their children. And it brings the humanity back into the room.
You know, that's so important. I know in my own case, I've been there myself and experienced homelessness and struggled with some of the issues myself. And it just seems like when that kind of voice is heard, it really moves us in a direction that's more real and honest. The politics of Washington, as both parties like to point out sometimes without pointing fingers at themselves, unfortunately, seems to be a very separated kind of politics from, I mean, even the irony of the city itself, our capital, and, you know, there's one capital where all the politicians are, and then there's the real capital, which is a completely neglected, bankrupted city. And so for this movement to happen and for these voices to be heard and for as best as can happen with media outlets such as ours, getting the word out about this is so important. And I, you know, just one maybe final comment from you, and I just want to thank you for being on the show. And before you make that comment, I want to remind people that if you want to be involved in this event, you can go to economichumanrights.org. And also you can call, if you're interested in the Florida delegation, 727-278-1547. And now just a quick final comment, Sherry.
Yeah, I just want to encourage folks that even if you can't come up with the Florida delegation, that your stories are still important and that you should definitely get them to the Florida delegation so that they can carry the testimonies with them to Philadelphia. And I just want to encourage folks to, you know, get involved and to really understand that they're the leaders that they're looking for. It's going to take as many of us as possible to right all of these wrongs and to get involved in our own fight for our own survival. So those that are sitting out there that think that, you know, they don't know anything about politics or what needs to be done in the world, that's not true. They have a very important role to play in this process of, you know, saving, helping to save the people and helping to save the planet.
Thank you so much, Sherry, for being on our show. That was Sherry Honkola with the Poor People's Economic Human Rights Campaign. Again, economichumanrights.org.
Thank you, Sherry.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, very good. Excellent. That was a great interview. And Bruce was instrumental in setting that up and getting that scheduled. And thank you, Bruce, for that. And thank you, Sherry. I had the privilege of being with Sherry Honkola in Marshall Park in Charlotte, North Carolina, during the Democratic National Convention last year, which was that was in September, early September of 2012. And she's quite an interesting person. And I also met her and I interviewed her, actually, as well when she was here earlier in the summer in 2012. Quite a lady. And now for our next segment, we're going to have a brief discussion about this new film, The Fifth Estate. Now, The Fifth Estate is a major commercial film release. It is being released in an advanced screening preview tomorrow night, Tuesday, the 15th of October, and it's in wide release in many theaters across the country this week on Friday, which is the 18th of October. And it's a very interesting film. It's basically the story of Julian Assange and WikiLeaks and how it affected the world and their relationship to the U.S. government, et cetera, et cetera. And we will be, the staff, the hosts of Spectrum 360 will be attending the screening tomorrow evening in Tampa at the AMC Theaters there at West Shore. So that's going to be very interesting. We're looking forward to that. We've got a little flavor of the film here for you in the form of the audio from the preview or trailer for the film. And we'd like to play that for you just to give you a little bit more information about what the film itself is like.
You've got about four Humvees. You're clear. Light them all up. All right, fire it. Keep shooting.
A video was leaked today depicting what appears to be a U.S. military helicopter firing on unarmed reporters.
12 million people have seen that video. You still want to tell me you think it's just a little website?
They have an agenda?
Truth, justice, the American way.
Man is least himself when he talks in his own person. But if you give him a mask, he will tell you the truth. Two people and a secret. The beginning of all conspiracy. More people and more secrets. But if we could find one moral man, one whistleblower, someone willing to expose those secrets, that man could topple the most powerful and most repressive of regimes.
This bank is hiding billions of dollars in offshore accounts.
We're going to nail those bastards.
Former head of Iceland's biggest bank has been accused of fraud.
We took down a $1 billion bank. This is crazy.
Courage is contagious.
The White House today blasted the leak of over 90,000 military documents.
The military logs expose hundreds of informants. There are lives at risk here.
I need names of sources who could be harmed if these cables are put out.
They're coming after us. We need to publish now.
This is the biggest leak of classified information in history.
The Guardian, New York Times, all standing alongside you.
This is going to change everything.
He's not a journalist. He's a threat to national security.
This is all about survival.
Lives are at stake.
What about the lives of the civilians in these conflicts?
If we had someone like you, the Berlin Wall would have come down years before.
We're on the verge of a major international crisis.
If you want to do this, you have to do it now.
You all have 5 seconds.
We're going 5 seconds on.
It's just you and your ego
and the lies you tell to get whatever you want.
This is information the world needs to know.
We need to crush these guys.
It's life. Times is life.
If you want the truth, you should seek it out for yourself. That's what they're afraid of. You.
Wow.
That's what they're afraid of. You.
That's what this show is all about, isn't it, Mark? Bringing out things that are not heard usually in the mainstream media. And it is absolutely amazing to me that this film is being released in the mainstream market as and not just as a documentary, but an actual feature film. Something's afoot here.
Well, it is the largest leak, you know, that anybody's aware of classified information from the United States federal government in history. And it's going to be very interesting to see how it's treated in the film. If you watch the trailer, you'll see that, or even just the audio version that we just played for you, you can see that there is positive and negative about Julian Assange in the film. And certainly he's certainly been denigrated in the media because of this, what I think is a contrived sex scandal, which appears to be the mechanism that the U.S. government is trying to get him extradited back to Sweden and then to the United States from. Of course, right now, he is stuck in the Ecuadorian embassy in London, England, and has been there for over a year and has been broadcasting to multiple media outlets. He's been on Democracy Now! In fact, last year, I believe it was in November, late November, early December of 2012, there was a very interesting interview that Amy Goodman of Democracy Now! Conducted with him from the Ecuadorian embassy. And that was very, very good. I recommend people look that up in Democracy Now! You can go to democracynow.org. Very, very interesting film.
It really is amazing that these kinds of things are coming out more and more. And you know, some people don't want to look at things in the positive, but I think this is such a positive thing that's happening. And we're seeing a real move for truth to be put out there for everyone to see. I look forward to seeing it.
Yes. Okay, that wraps up segment two for Spectrum 360 for Monday, the 14th of October, 2013. We are going to break in a few seconds here for about 5 minutes for station identification news and commercials. We'll be back in about 5 minutes with more Spectrum 360. Remember, we're going to have a discussion of all the events that have happened in the last few days in St. Petersburg, Pinellas County, etc. And then we'll come back with our last part four of John Nichols. Yes, Spectrum 360. Stay with us.
Stay tuned for more truth.
Deal to end the government shutdown and raise the debt ceiling may be emerging in the Senate. NBC's Kelly O'Donnell.
Sources are telling me this is the closest that Congress has been to resolving this issue. But this is a Senate deal so far. They'll sleep on it tonight, more finishing touches tomorrow, so it is not a done deal yet.
NBC's Peter Alexander says the House will get its first look at the Senate plan tomorrow morning,
where Speaker John Boehner will present it to his conference. That's obviously where the real challenge is going to exist on this because of that wing, that Tea Party conservative wing within the House Republican conference that has really been against pretty much anything that the Democrats or the president has been in favor of.
As the government shutdown drags on, Americans are losing their patience.
Get back to work and make a decision and fix it.
I think they should dismiss all of the elected officials, start from scratch.
This is NBC News Radio.
Jay Farner here with Quicken Loans. Here are two simple words that should make you reconsider waiting to buy a home. Buying power. Let's say you can afford a monthly mortgage payment, including principal and interest, of around $1,350. With today's rate on a 30-year fixed mortgage of 4.375%, APR 4.64%, that payment could support a $270,000 mortgage. But if you wait and rates tick up to around 6%, that same $1,350 mortgage payment, including principal and interest, may only be able to support a $225,000 mortgage. That's $45,000 worth of home that you're missing out on by waiting. That's buying power. And for 3 years in a row now, J.D. Power & Associates has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. Give Quicken Loans a call today at 800-QUICKEN or go to quickenloans.com and maximize your buying power.
For J.D. Power & Associates award information, visit jdpower.com. Payment example excludes taxes and insurance. Calls for cost information. Equal housing lender license in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
For all your home repair needs, call Ed's Handyman Services at 727-224-8681. For example, toilets, faucet, door locks, and much, much more. Impeccable quality work and reliable real-time service at an astonishing affordable price. Ed provides a clean, safe work environment from start to finish. Licensed, bonded, and insured, Ed guarantees all his work. So call Ed now at 727-224-8681.
Hi, this is John Austin, host of the Book Club on the Tan Talk Radio Network. And I've been telling you about a book that can change your life. The book is No Cash, No Problem by Dave Wagenford, who is one of the greatest barter experts in the world, and his co-author, Ali Pervez. Well, it turns out that a whole lot of people agreed with me. Just check out the reviews on Amazon, where the Kindle edition of the book has been number one in its categories for the last 5 weeks. Do you want to remodel your house, but the cost is just too high? Or maybe there's an automobile that you have dreamed of owning, but thought you could never afford? This book will tell you how you can do both of these things, plus hundreds more, with little or no cash and without going into hock for the rest of your life. Maybe you're a business owner with a cash flow problem that leads to low or non-existent profits. Read this book and see how you can increase your cash flow and your profits by time-proven techniques. The book, again, is No Cash, No Problem, and you can buy it now on Amazon for just $4.49 for the ebook. Do yourself a big favor and buy it today.
As many of you know, October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, so we're going to get our pink on. On the next Happy Hour with Dana Pepper, it's a titillating salute to breasts. Hear a true, heartwarming story of strength and survival. And if you've got a story, call in and share it. But most of all, learn how you can join the cause all year round. It's a Happy Hour salute to breasts. Happy Hour with Dana Pepper, every Thursday afternoon at 3 on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Need tickets? All Tickets and Tours has the tickets for all the events, including concerts and theater shows in the Tampa Bay area. We're here to provide you with the best and or difficult to find tickets for all events. Our specialty is sporting events, NFL, NBA, NHL, Major League Baseball, all NCAA events, and so much more. Also, all bowl games and the Masters tournaments. Wait, there's more. Traveling? Any event, anywhere, anytime, from Boston to Budapest, New York to Las Vegas, too. Preferred and upfront seating, sold out games and show tickets available. If you want to go, we want to get you the best seats. All Tickets and Tours, we've got what you need. And don't forget to pre-order your Super Bowl tickets now from All Tickets and Tours by calling 727-894-8700. That's 727-894-8700 or at anyticket.com. Again, anyticket.com. We're not affiliated with Ticketmaster or any other box office. Mention Tan Talk and get 10% off your purchase.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR, Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.
One morning, I woke up and I knew
you were gone, yeah. Spectrum 360, this is Mark Skogman.
This is Bruce Wright.
And this is the program for Monday, the 14th of October, 2013. We've had a great program so far. I hope you've enjoyed listening to it as much as we've enjoyed in producing it. We are working very hard every week to give you an excellent program. We're going to do a segment here. We're going to take a few minutes to talk about recent events that have happened over the last few days that the Spectrum 360 staff has attended. We've done, myself and Bruce, we've done a number of events. Bruce is going to go first. Bruce, describe what you did over the weekend and what that great event was that you were at for the last couple of days.
Yes, I was at the statewide conference for Pax Christi. Pax Christi is a Catholic, but actually ecumenical conference committed to social justice and peace.
Now that doesn't give you a pox in both your houses, does it?
No, it's actually a Latin word. Some people think it's Latino, but it's actually a Latin word. It speaks of Christ and humanity, and of course, many are familiar with the phrase "pox humana."
Well, what does the actual word "pox" mean?
Well,
it's a little obscure since it's a foreign language.
Yes, it's a little obscure. Well, basically, it means the idea of kind of like the center of attention. And in this case, the center of attention has to do with what many in the more progressive Christian world and liberal Christian world speak of as far as Christian values, not the kind we hear on right-wing television and radio, but the kind that speaks of Jesus, who was the peacemaker.
So
Jesus.
Basically, this was a Catholic peace event, correct?
Yes, but it was actually ecumenical. There were people from all denominations and actually all faiths at this event. It was a very, very powerful event. It was a retreat, in Leesburg at the United Methodist Conference grounds, and a very beautiful facility out in the middle of the country. And the intent of it was not only to speak of what's been going on with Pax Christi around the state, but to focus on the notion of intentional community. We had people there from Koinonia Farms. Most people are familiar with them through the beginnings of Habitat for Humanity, and also Jimmy Carter's involvement with this group. And there was also the Catholic Worker there, of which I'm a member of the local Catholic Worker, which was started by Dorothy Day back in the 30s and was a radical kind of anarchist political revolutionary kind of group started during the Depression. There was also a number of other groups that really have committed themselves to creating kind of cooperatives, cooperative living and a cooperative society. And it was just an amazing, amazing event. A lot of people there.
Very, very interesting. You know, Koinonia Farms is interesting. I have to thank the West Pasco Habitat for Humanity. About a year and a half ago, screened a great film about the origin of Koinonia Farms. And it was started by Christians who were not racist, mm-hmm. who suffered greatly because this farm is in southern Georgia, where there was extreme racism in the 40s and 50s about the time that the farm was started. And the farm was resisted and denigrated and attacked, all because they had whites and blacks working together on a farm as equals. And it's a very amazing story. And it's a great documentary film, and I was really thankful that West Pasco Habitat for Humanity, when they were having their film night, screened that film. And I thank Sergei Kostin for running that night. That was a great film, and that's why I'm aware of Koinonia Farms and then, by extension, some of these other events that that some people from there participate in. Now, yeah. What I did over the weekend was Friday evening, there was a great event where there was a union member, an activist from the Sinaltrinol Union, in Colombia, here to speak about what's happening in Colombia and trade policy and trade agreements and how that's affecting the U.S.-Colombia relationship. It was very, very powerful. It was organized by Alvaro Montalegre, who is a producer and audio engineer at WMNF, non-commercial radio in the Tampa Bay area. And I'd just like full disclosure notice that myself, Mark Skogman, and Bruce Wright were both big supporters of WMNF non-commercial radio, 88.5 FM, and we're very involved in there as well. And I believe, Bruce, you're appearing on Radioactivity on WMNF on Wednesday at 11 a.m., correct?
Yes.
Rob Lori's program.
Yes.
Yeah, so Bruce is going to be on that program as well. And also, I was able to attend the March on Monsanto this last Saturday,
no
and before
GMOs.
That, yes, no GMOs, and also the Stop the Duke Energy Ripoff event, and that's a very important event. People need to know that Duke Energy is trying to steal approximately $1.8 billion of their ratepayers, that's their customers' money, that the state legislature foolishly approved through what's called an advanced recovery fee, where ratepayers were forced to pay for a nuclear power plant before it was even built that's now not going to be built, and the company wants to keep the money for doing nothing, producing no electricity. They apparently think that there's a bigger profit center in defrauding their customers than in providing electricity, and that was a great event. There are things going on in the legislature right now that are going to determine what happens. There's a settlement agreement that's supposedly being negotiated by the Public Service Commission right now in Florida, and people need to get involved in this and
that's
check
right.
this out and call your PSC commissioners, call your state legislators, and tell them that you will not settle for being ripped off by Duke Energy to the tune of $1.8 billion for doing nothing.
Unbelievable.
Yes. Okay, so that wraps up some of the things that we've done over the last few days, a little bit of an overview of current political events. It was a great weekend for politics, I'll tell you that. We're going to close with our final segment here for this program, and this is part four of our John Nichols speech. Again, this is a speech by John Nichols on Saturday, the 10th of August, 2013, at the Madison Concourse Hotel in Madison, Wisconsin, to the Wisconsin Progressive Democrats of America state meeting. Subject of the speech was his new book, Dollarocracy, and the Effect of Money in Politics and the Current State of Politics in the U.S. Just a little bit about John Nichols to remind you who he is. John Nichols lives in Madison, Wisconsin, and Washington, D.C. He's a political writer. He's the Nation Magazine's Washington, D.C. correspondent, a contributing writer for the Progressive Magazine and In These Times, and is the associate editor of the Capital Times, the daily newspaper in Madison, Wisconsin. He's also the author of 9 books, including, of course, his latest book, Dollarocracy. John Nichols.
I used to cover Detroit. I would drive in Detroit. I'm sorry. I apologize. I am an environmentalist. I want to address global warming. But when I came into Detroit at night and I saw those smokestacks and the fire kind of coming out of the smokestacks and sort of that incredible light of an industrial city at night, I loved it. Because I grew up in Kenosha, Wisconsin, and the fact of the matter is, a working, humming factory town. Yeah, I want to get rid of the pollution. I want to make it work. But I loved that tens of thousands of people walked into those factories, built cars, built things that we needed, and then walked out with a paycheck that allowed them to live a middle class life. Detroit's a disaster, right? It's a horrible place. Well, what happened to Detroit? Oh, no, you're not listening to Fox. No, you don't understand. See, what happened to Detroit is liberal governance, right? What happened to Detroit is... Hang on for 1 second. John Nichols. James Holm, Ed Schultz, and Aaron Gamley. How are you guys? I'll be there for the Ed Show, and it happens that I'm in a room with a ton of people who are huge Ed Schultz fans. Yeah. Take care, brother. See you soon. All right, so I'm doing the Ed Show this afternoon. And I just want you to know that I'm relatively transparent. So we're talking about all this stuff, and you know, it all comes down to a simple concept, and it'll take some questions from you because you guys are so smart and good. Simple concept here. When the media, by and large, and you got Ed, and you got Amy Goodman, you got some other good folks, but we don't have enough. When the media stands down and when the money flows in, you create a circumstance where the propaganda state becomes increasingly possible, and you create a circumstance where the vote matters a whole lot less than the dollar. And it doesn't have to be this way. It does not have to be this way. In the country of Norway, they banned political ads because they say political ads are propaganda. You know what else they do in Norway? They fund all media so that, and you know this interesting thing, in Norway and Sweden and the northern countries of Scandinavia, they allow you to take a tax credit on your taxes to subscribe to the publications and to support the independent media that you want, because they say if media has to rely on advertising, it may not give you all the news in the way you need it. Wow. They actually do it better in other countries around the world. We talk about all this in the book, and here's the most amazing thing. Here's the thing that you ought to take in and carry with you everywhere, because I am an American patriot. I am front line and center. I get a tear in my eye when I see that American flag in a 4th of July parade. My family has fought in every war of this country, going back to the days when my great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather Phineas Caldwell, when he came down from Canada speaking only French, signed up with the Ethan Allen boys, wow, and went out, and they would put him in the front line because he didn't know how dangerous it was because he didn't speak English. My family has... I am as loyal to this country as you can get. I have the loyalty of Tom Paine. I have the loyalty of Tom Jefferson. These people said that there were times when the best ideas weren't coming from here in America, but were coming from other places. Thomas Jefferson read the Quran. He read the Torah. He read Hindu and Buddhist texts in framing the Declaration of Independence and the great documents of this country, because he said you needed to understand it all. Jefferson and Paine consulted Native Americans because they believed that they had wisdom and insight. The bottom line, brothers and sisters, is we can look around the world for solutions. It's not wrong. It's not un-American. And the fact of the matter is, I just told you about Norway and Sweden. Let me tell you about Slovenia, where they spend 75 times as much per person on independent free media as the United States does. The fact of the matter is, every country around the world that tries to be a democracy understands that you must sustain an independent media and you must get corporate big money out of your politics and have a politics funded by the people, not by the corporation.
All right.
Oh, I know The Economist magazine. That's not some kind of liberal publication. The Economist magazine, every year they do the Economist Index. They have a democracy index. They study dozens of different measures on what makes a functional democracy in countries around the world. The Democracy Index comes out every year. If you're above, it's a 10-point index. If you're above 8 points, you're a functional democracy. Every year, the United States has been falling down, bit by bit, bit by bit. The latest one, the 2013 measure, we are at 8.1. We are 0.1 of a point among falling out of the fully functional democracy category. Some of us would say we've already stumbled. But the bottom line is, we're falling down there. Do you know who's beating us? Uruguay. Yeah. And, but there's a lot of countries that are beating us, but the fascinating thing is, at the top of that list, at the top of that list, Norway, Sweden, Denmark, all of these countries that fully fund an independent media. Not the government creating the media, not the government telling you, but creating structures. Britain, where they have the BBC, it comes off a license fee on your TV. They make sure that you have a media that isn't driven by corporate cash. And then they take money out of politics. Do you know, many countries that we look to as democracies, they ban all political ads. In England, they don't run political ads. You get party broadcasts, but that's actually part of what you do on the standard thing. It's produced as part of news coverage. Bottom line is, brothers and sisters, those countries are number one, number two, number three. We're number 20, number 21, number 20. We're falling down as a country. And I'm a patriot. And as a patriot, I say it's time. I say it's time we go to work on behalf of our republic. I say, rather than running around the world trying to tell other countries how to shape their democracies, why don't we stay here at home and try to shape a real democracy, not a dollarocracy, a democracy, not a dollarocracy, where we pass a constitutional amendment to get big money out of our politics. State-by-state fights over whether we're going to have a tough voter ID law or whether we're going to ban same-day registration. I am tired of Antonin Scalia sitting in the U.S. Supreme Court saying we don't have a right to vote in presidential elections. I'm tired of them chipping away at the Voting Rights Act. I don't want a Voting Rights Act for a few states anymore. I want a constitutional amendment that says every American has a right to vote. This is not something beyond us. It is happening now. 16 states have petitioned the Congress of the United States to do a constitutional amendment to overturn Citizens United. More than 500 communities have petitioned their members of Congress to support a constitutional amendment. And brothers and sisters, while Paul Ryan was down with the Koch brothers in Albuquerque, the city council of Kenosha, Wisconsin, the largest city in his district, petitioned Paul Ryan to support a constitutional amendment to get money out of politics. Brothers and sisters, shape, and I know great to be here on Saturday morning in the Concourse Hotel in Madison, Wisconsin. Why, you know, this all sounds great, but I'm going to walk out in a couple minutes, and I'm not going to be so sure. I'm going to walk out there, and I'm going to think, oh, no, I know. The Koch brothers are really rich. And all these other people are really rich. And Scott Walker will still be governor. And I know that can be frustrating. But I want to tell you something. In 1910, 100 years ago, if you woke up anywhere in the United States, you looked out across this great fertile plain, here's what you saw. You saw a country where six-year-old girls would work in textile mills and run up and down along the machines, changing the bobbins. They were called bobbin girls. Yeah. They did it because changing the bobbin is a slightly dangerous thing to do. And when you're in there in that machinery changing the bobbin, sometimes a finger gets chopped off. They didn't want the teenagers to do it because the teenagers knew how to run the machines and do the textile work. So they wanted little 6- and 7-year-old girls because if they lost their fingers, they were expendable. That was the United States. Looked across this country, 1910, 1911. Women, immigrant women working in the top floor of a factory. Jews and Italians and Irish. All working together in a textile mill, top floor of a factory. When that factory caught on fire, they ran to the doors to get out of it. And the doors had been nailed shut so they wouldn't sneak out to go to the bathroom. And so those women had to jump 11 and 12 floors to their death rather than burn alive at the machines where they worked in the Triangle Shirtwaist Fire. That was not Bangladesh. That was not some textile plant on the other side of the world. That was the United States of America in 1910. And if we wanted to change that, the women who worked in that factory couldn't have any role in it because we didn't allow women to vote in 1910. And even if we had allowed women to vote, we didn't allow them to elect members of the United States Senate. Our United States Senate was chosen in backroom deals by corporate powers, by wealthy people who bought their seats. I know that sounds ironic. And if they got a Senate elected, if those women from that factory voted, got the vote, and they got a Senate elected, they still couldn't tax corporations. And it couldn't fairly tax the rich because we had no Internal Revenue Service. We had no national taxation model that allowed us to do any kind of progressive taxation in this country. That was 1910. In 1920, women had the right to vote through a constitutional amendment. In 1920, we had an elected United States Senate through a constitutional amendment. In 1920, we had created a tax system that allowed us to tax the rich and corporations through a constitutional amendment. In the process of passing those amendments, we had passed the first major child labor laws. We passed the first major protections for women in the workplace. We'd begun to establish the outlines of what would become the New Deal in this country. In a 10-year period, progressives organized and they stopped saying, oh, we just want a little tinkering around the edges. They stopped saying, oh, I only want to worry about my issue. They said, we live in a country where six-year-old girls lose their fingers in factories and working women have to jump to their death because their factories aren't safe. Where people across this country live in a gilded age where an incredibly wealthy few have all the power, the great mass of people have almost nothing. And that's wrong. That's not the American experiment. And in a 10-year period, we fundamentally transformed this country. I don't think your ancestors are better than you. I think that in the 10-year period beginning today, we can pass a constitutional amendment to get big money out of politics. We can pass a constitutional amendment to guarantee the right to vote. We can pass a constitutional amendment to get rid of gerrymandering of our congressional districts. We can pass a constitutional amendment to eliminate the electoral college. They just want a little bit of reform. I want a whole lot of change because I want democracy, not democracy. Sorry,
Okay, there you have it. That was John Nichols, part four of the speech he gave on Saturday, the 10th of August 2013, to the Progressive Democrats of America Wisconsin State Meeting in Madison, Wisconsin, at the Madison Concourse Hotel. Great speech. That wraps it up. That was actually a four-part series it was done, because it was a fairly long speech, so we split it up for you, so you get a flavor of that for each program. And we're going to have a great program for you next week. Bruce is going to give us a brief preview of some of the segments that we're going to have on next week's program. Bruce?
Yes. First, we'd like to thank Relax at Home, licensed massage therapist. Call Patricia, 813-784-7485. My Place in Recovery Thrift Store, 727-244-0427. Catholic Worker in St. Petersburg. And, of course, the League of Revolutionaries for New America, LRNA.org. Next week, yours truly will be sharing a very, very provocative case that is going to be happening in relation to civil rights violations, sunshine law violations, and federal court papers that have been filed against a particular municipality. We're going to leave this kind of as a mystery till next week, but this will be the exclusive first appearance and discussion of this issue and of what's going on related to it, and further things will be happening with that. We hope to have the attorney involved as well in my case, and you'll find out more about that next week. Additionally, we'll be having tickets to give away for the Fifth Estate, for Michael Frenti, and actually for Red Man and Method Man, who are both members of Wu-Tang Clan. So it should be very fun.
I want you to say all that again.
Red
really
Man
fast.
And Method Man. I know. There are two members of Wu-Tang Clan, for those who remember the well-known hip-hop group.
The Man
group.
And the Clan. And
the Man and the Clan.
I hope it's not the Clan.
No, that's the Tang. And not the kind you drink up in space. But anyway, I think we're going up in space right now.
I'm not going to touch that comment.
Well, just remember, Spectrum 360 can be listened to on a podcast, www.tantalk1340.com. Also, like our Facebook.
Like us on Facebook, Bruce.
Mark reminded me that I hadn't even liked our Facebook page yet. So shame on me, but like our Facebook, Spectrum 360 Radio Show. Thank you for listening.
That's the program, and we expect to see you here next week. We're working hard. Give you a good program.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR, Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.